Sportsman Media Today, talking sports, traveling, talking sports, ready for the junior. We're talking NFL football right now, and we talked about running backs. We were talking about receivers a little bit, and right before we went into halftime, Vince was saying, if you don't have a diva receiver on your team, then he's kind of looking at you cross-eyed. What about the new wide receiver with the Dallas Cowboys?
And that also was a point of another team that just decided to just trade almost everybody.
Yeah, Oakland, they got a fire sale going on out there, right?
That's for sure.
Is it a fire sale or is it the curse of Chucky?
You know, I mean,
I kind of like that.
I think it's sort of the same thing with going on with the Giants. You know, you realize there was a point of no return for Oakland. You know, you made all the comments and you went back and forth with Khalil Mack, finally traded him away. You know, arguably your best player, not just your best defensive player, your best player, you traded him away, which sent a certain kind of signal through your organization. I mean, players looking like what? Mm. You know, like why are we not keeping this dude?
Yeah, for real. And that wasn't supposed to happen.
That sends a strong message. Like what are we doing here?
That's for sure.
And then they go out and perform the way they have.
Mm-hmm.
And it's time to make some changes.
Yeah, and I don't mean to cut you off, man, but I mean it's like this, man.
Yes, you did.
I'll cut you off though; it's not a problem. But it's just when he came into this season, when he went through all that hype, and I can't stand hype. It's another four-letter word. But when you came into the offseason, all that hype about him coming back, and it's cool that he mended his fences with Oakland. That's great. All that hype start coming. Remind me of when the Dolphins hired Jimmy Johnson back in 96. That same type of hype that all of a sudden this team was going to rule the world. And then you see this 1-5 start. Of course, trading Khalil Mack and the other trades that they made. This isn't what I'm sure they didn't anticipate coming into this year. You know?
I'm sure they didn't. But, you know, I mean, you know, Oakland stinks. And, you know, I mean, so like, the decision to not pay Khalil Mack, the decision to, you know, give up on Amari Cooper, you have to ask who's next.
Yeah, who is really next? I mean, some people are rumoring that some of the defensive backs are getting ready to go.
I heard the quarterback.
Carr, huh?
Well, see, that's why I asked that question, mm-hmm. because, you know, Amari Cooper, you know, back in 2015, mm-hmm. I think he was the fourth overall pick in the draft. Mm-hmm. Okay, and then he had 1,000
first two seasons. He was
1,000 yards mm-hmm. receiving. Mm-hmm. Okay, so he fell off. Okay, so what? I mean, he came into the league 2 years back to back 1,000 yard receiving.
Very much.
It might not just be him. There has to be other things that are taking place that may take away from his receptions. Because right now at this point of the season, what he has 22 catches for 280 yards and a touchdown. Mm-hmm. That's in six mm-hmm. games. You know. Okay. I give you that, but the potential is there, and I think the Cowboys see the potential. But I'm not feeling the Cowboys because you had Dez Bryant. Mm-hmm. You let him go. Are you bringing in another type Dez Bryant type of player, mm-hmm. but younger?
They seem like similar players in terms of their style, the situations. Amari Cooper at this point has sort of even in the few years that he's been in the league, has an injury history. Mm-hmm. I think the reason he wasn't as productive as his draft status and his prior production, it didn't match up. And you had a guy like Dez Bryant who wasn't an all-pro receiver anymore in terms of his production, mm-hmm. had gotten injured, and you let him go. So, I mean, it seems they're just – you're picking up, trading for a younger version of Dez Bryant, hoping that they can right some of the ills that have plagued his career.
I think that, and who knows if it might be too late. I mean, they're only 3-4 right now, and with Washington being 4-2, but I think it's good that they grab somebody because he is better than all them jokers on that team, them receivers.
Yeah, but okay. I like Cole Beasley. Cole Beasley is not an Amari Cooper, but right. he's more like a possession receiver.
I mean, he knows his role.
He's good at what he does. That's just my opinion.
But just that playmaker. You know what I'm saying? And he's
is that supposed to be Terrence Williams, who has a foot injury?
Supposed to be.
Yeah, okay.
But man.
When did tight end
see, we're going to throw a flag on him here. He comes in talking about a player, then you're going to know his name. We're going to throw a flag on him, Ray.
Yeah, I see him in a booth. I mean, you when you don't have your security blanket,
right?
I think
at tight end, yeah, without question, yeah. I think talking about Tony Romo?
Not Tony Romo. No, the tight end,
the one that retired,
all pro tight end.
Oh, that retired from the Cowboys.
Yeah.
Okay, I got you. So you're saying when you don't have him anymore?
Yeah, I mean, wait a minute. I think
did Dak really rely on a tight end?
Well, I think when you don't have talent. I mean, I need to look up his name.
Jason Witten.
I mean, he seemed to be an all-pro tight end every year he was in the league.
Yeah, he definitely put up the numbers.
Yeah, you know, sure. Keith Miller.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, like someone you knew, you could always cut. Ball thrown his way, you know he's going to go make a play. I mean, he's not going to set the world on fire, but he's going to, you know, he was an excellent pass-catching tight end.
But I was going to say, because he's not a Tony Gonzalez type of tight end.
Right.
No, he doesn't stretch the field, you know, but like I say, I mean, if I'm a quarterback, if I know a guy, if I throw the ball in his direction, he's going to catch it. Like, that gives me a certain level of confidence when other plays or players break down. And so not having talent around you, you know, I mean, you can't – Dak Prescott can't go out there and do it all himself.
Right.
We see that with Russell Wilson.
Oh, gosh, yes.
You know, I mean, he was Mr. Do-Everything for Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
And it got him nowhere.
Yeah. I mean, he put up the numbers, but that's about it, though.
Two Super Bowls.
I'm talking about, last year he was their leading passer and, I believe, leading rusher.
Mm-hmm.
He had a lot on his plate, and that team wasn't nearly as good as they had been in the past.
So
I'm just saying that you have to have talent around you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes the quarterback makes the receivers – sometimes a receiver makes the quarterback, and they all have to work in conjunction together in order to have, you know, sustained success.
I'll give you that. I don't have a problem with that at all.
Something about this, though, I don't know if you think it's really going to help this team, though.
What team are you speaking about? You talking about the Cowboys?
We're still talking about the Cowboys, man. And I'm talking about something about this trade is going to help this team. Yeah, having that go-to guy.
If he's healthy, like he's in, is he in the concussion protocol?
That I did not realize.
Can you trade for somebody while they're in the concussion protocol? Yeah. I don't think you could.
No, you can.
Isn't that because you can't trade for an injured player?
I know it, in certain situations you have to pass a physical. I mean,
okay.
So as long as as long as the injury is doesn't keep him from passing that physical,
mm-hmm.
and all the parties agree that like they know he has a, you know, a injury history.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, like I heard. Terrell Pryor,
mm-hmm.
got cut last week by the Jets, and there were plenty of teams interested.
Good point.
I hadn't heard anyone picking him up yet, but he had a torn groin.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And everyone knew he was going to be down for a couple of weeks,
mm-hmm.
but it wasn't, you know, there was still interest in picking up that player who obviously was injured at the time.
Right.
So I think as long as everything's out in the open, like you're not trying to hide something. And a player passes the physical, you know, and whatever that physical means, because obviously it's not like you got to go out there and run, you know, and do this and do that. I think it's just certain things they look for in that physical.
Mm-hmm.
As long as you pass, you're good to go.
And I'm not questioning, you know, what you were asking before about concussion protocol, but even looking at an article, I'm not seeing anything in there about anything about the concussion or any concussion for him. But he...
That's interesting, and I hope Terrell Pryor gets picked up, man.
I'm too.
A Terrell Pryor fan.
So am I.
Because I just think he just went through so much to get back into the league, switch positions, and then make an impact.
He's a freak, man.
I mean, he made himself valuable. So I just hope that he does get back into the league and quickly. So that's interesting, what you guys are saying about Amari. We'll see what happens.
So that's for sure.
The Cowboys definitely needed a receiver. So I think he's going to be the one to come through. And speaking of receivers, before we leave that topic real quick, there's one receiver that I'm very impressed with. And I think he always had the potential, but it's Adam Thielen with the Minnesota Vikings.
What a story. My goodness.
He's actually leading the league right now.
822, my man. Yeah.
Yeah, and he has 67 catches.
And he has the record, what, for 100-yard receivers in the first five, six games, right?
Well, yeah, and he's averaging 117 yards a game.
Incredible.
So I'm impressed with him, too. Mm-hmm. What, he had like 10 receptions over 20 yards.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, that's interesting. And his yak, which I like that word, yak.
The yak.
Yeah. Yards after contact. 247 yards after contact.
Incredible, man.
I'm
not
mad at him.
And I have to say this about Minnesota. I thought possibly, and I know they made it to the title game, NFC Championship game last year, possibly this team was not going to be the same. But it seemed like they got better. You know, at least right now, it seems like they've gotten better. And with this young man, Thielen, stepping up and doing his thing, I mean, getting Kirk Cousins, letting go of Case Keenum. I mean, you know.
He's your favorite.
Of course, we should say Trevor's favorite quarterback, Kirk Cousins. Kirk, my cousin.
I'm sorry, man. I'm not sold on Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, and truthfully, I wasn't either. I was just like, you know, I thought they overpaid the man. So, I mean, you know. And what are they now? Okay, so they're in first place by a game over Green Bay.
Yeah. I mean, and Thielen, he's doing his thing. He has 822 yards receiving. Mm-hmm. So with seven games into the season, he's already, 180 yards shy or 188 yards shy of 1,000 yards
season? He is.
So that means he got the other half of the season to go. He could be a 2,000-yard receiver this year.
He'll get close.
I mean, the potential is there.
Mm-hmm.
That's incredible. That's incredible.
And what about that division in itself, the NFC North? Nobody's under 500. I mean, it's tight. Minnesota, Green Bay doing their thing, and then you have Detroit and Chicago both at 3-3. So, looks like it's going to be an interesting finish there.
Yeah, that's always, though. They used to call it the black and blue
division
back in the
day. That's for sure.
Green Bay Packers, Chicago Bears always won at it. Minnesota Vikings always won at it. So, that's just I remember when the Bears were the monsters of the Midway.
For sure.
So, I used to love that. I'm hoping that their defense helps them become the monsters of the Midway again.
Yeah.
And then Aaron Rodgers, man, I don't know.
What in the world?
I'm kind of suspect. Now, he comes in and he performs. He does his thing. Right. But I think it's suspect because I think any quarterback could be a step away from an injury. And I'm not wishing anything on Aaron Rodgers. But right. I don't know, man. I don't think it's the same Aaron Rodgers.
Don't seem like it.
Some people think he's the easy MVP of the league. Like he's the best quarterback in the league.
Oh, Lord.
Some people said he's the best thing since sliced bread. Mm-hmm. But the quarterback of the league, if you guys have to talk about quarterbacks again, we can talk about quarterbacks. My MVP is a quarterback so far this year.
Yeah, I know what you're going to say.
Yeah, Patrick Mahomes, Kansas City Chiefs. Mm-hmm. What, are you kidding me? He's second in the league. Now, he's second in the league behind Matty Ice. These two cats right now, and we were talking about, and I was going off about Drew Brees and his 71,000-yard career passing yards. This is just – I can't fathom. That's just unbelievable, 71,000 yards. But Patrick Mahomes has over 223,000 yards passing already.
Mm-hmm.
Only one in front of him is Matty Ice, Matt Ryan, who has 2,335. Patrick Mahomes, 2,223 yards passing. He's averaging 8 yards a pass. So is Matt Ryan. He has 22 touchdowns and 5 interceptions.
Jesus, just imagine what he's on pace for in touchdowns, man. That's crazy.
I'm already impressed. He's only been sacked 8 times. Matty Ice has been sacked 20 times.
Yeah, I honestly believe he has to. He definitely has the inside track for MVP. But you have to put Breeze right behind him, though, if he keeps his Saints on track. But I believe it's Mahomes this year.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's just my opinion. So
I think it's a good given, man.
We'll see. I don't know.
As long as they don't give it to your other favorite quarterback again, like they always try to.
I mean, lock can happen.
That's what I say. This is like, I don't know.
Some things stand out like a sore thumb, man, and he do.
We still got 8 games. Yeah.
Whatever, man, whatever. I'm saying it now, okay?
I mean, you said a couple weeks ago, you talked about how Kansas City gets off to a fast start, but then they slowed on down.
I'm not the only one that said that.
I said it too.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, but aren't you the only one here who said it?
No.
Who else said it?
No, I said that too. Because I remember maybe 2 or 3 years ago, the Chiefs started out 8-0.
Right. 2 or 3 years ago? Last year they started. Oh, yeah, you're right. You're right.
Yeah, but they started out 8-0.
And they started 5-0 last year.
But we're saying that, like, we're almost halfway to the season. A lot can happen on the second half. And you're already ready to give it to Patrick Mahomes.
I'm ready to give it to him.
Just like you're ready to go kick them field goals?
Well, you said I wasn't Martin Grammatica, so, you know, I have to take a vial of silence for like 2 minutes. Then I'll come back and get you.
And the whistle is blown. That's the end of the third quarter. It's Urban Media Today Talk Sports.
That's the part.
Vince Butts, Ray Porter Jr., Trevor A. Jones. We're talking NFL football. And we always have fun on Saturday mornings. When we come back, we're going to shift gears and give it over to man Vince, because the NBA has been happening.
That's
and
for sure.
There was some fisticuffs going on in the NBA. We got to talk about that and a whole lot more. We'll be right back after this.
In your hand, you have $19.99. What could you do with that? You can fill up your gas tank, stop by a local coffee shop. You may need to add a little bit more to that. Maybe a matinee ticket to the movies. Matinee, though. What about subscribing to UrbanMediaToday.com? No, think about it. For just $19.99, you'll receive exclusive podcasts, interviews, entertainment updates, sports reports, and more. A VIP subscription to Urban Media Today is more than just a magazine subscription. It's access to the urban lifestyle. UrbanMediaToday.com is your only source for HBCU sports. Plus, you have direct access to awesome prizes like gift cards, swag, concert tickets, and your $19.99 supports another minority-owned business. That's pretty cool, right? Log on to UrbanMediaToday.com right now and subscribe for just $19.99 a year. Not a month, not a week, but a year. You've always wanted to be a VIP, right? Well, here's your chance. Subscribe today for just $19.99 at UrbanMediaToday.com. You can thank us later.
Urban Media Today talks sports. Trevin A. Jones, Vince Butts, Ray Porter Jr. This is the fourth quarter. And this time, since we talk football for most of the show, every time we start talking football, it becomes a football show. I say that every weekend.
I didn't do it, man.
No, you didn't this time. But we started off with you, and we never left. So this time, it's NBA action. And, of course, everybody talked about last week. And we'll touch on it a little bit because it's just a hot topic. The battle between the Lakers and the Rockets, where you know CP3 and Rajon Rondo got into it, and then Brandon Ingram came in and got his little that punch he threw seemed like it was coming from the outfield, coming towards home plate. It's no different sport, I know, but I'm just trying to let you visualize the distance. okay, Vince, that game, it looks like it's going to be something to watch the rest of the season when if the Lakers meet the Houston Rockets. You had Brandon Ingram, the young guy from Duke, Coach K said he was surprised because it was just not his nature. Brandon is somebody that doesn't really say anything. So you got the beard, you know, going in, and did he foul Ingram or did Ingram foul him? I think he fouled Ingram.
Yeah, I think he fouled
him. And then he turned around
and shoved him.
And Ingram turned around and shoved him.
Right.
But then that escalated because you get the two teams together, and now CP3 saying Rajon Rondo spit on him, and then CP3 puts his finger in Rajon's face, and then Rajon takes a swing, and may have connected.
Well, CP3, he's that dude, man.
He will
push. You watch him during a game.
Push his buttons.
He definitely pushes buttons. Like he'll get fouled. He'll jump up. You know, little man syndrome. Like hopping into big dude's face. Like he's ready to do something. And it always seems he does that, but then all his players come, they got his back.
To his defense, absolutely. And
but I didn't see nobody jump in that time.
Not that time, no.
Because it was LeBron that grabbed
CP3. Grabbed him and pulled him aside.
That's his boy.
Yeah.
You know, so I didn't see Carmelo Anthony jump in there.
But
I didn't see the beard jump in there.
And you know what I'm going to say. I've been saying this about this man ever since he signed with the Lakers. That a big old hothead that has more jerseys just like Dwight Howard, Rajon Rondo. For him to snap like that, I don't care what. Chris Paul did to him, whether he spat on him or not, he's responsible for his reactions, and he's a doggone hothead.
But Chris Paul said Rajon spat on him.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Oh, okay.
But I said whether he did or didn't, and a lot of people they confirmed that he did. But I mean, just look at his comments after the game, or what was it, a day after? People think that Chris Paul's a good guy. He's not. Why would you say something like that? He's better to take a vow of silence, man.
Like they set this all up for the potential playoff head to head.
Have a pie eating contest.
That's what you want to get involved in.
But for real though, it's like we're
gonna stick to the different side of sports,
right?
Not the food eating contest.
I'm pointing at him right now, but seriously, my viewpoint of it, because I had a chance to watch that game, and when Harden was driving. I mean, I wouldn't think that he intentionally tried to push Ingram out of the way when he made his basket, you know. But he's an, you know, as you say, he's an aggressive dude. He was doing his job. And then next thing you know, he turns around, wait for a minute, and then he pushes him, and that's how, you know what I'm saying? So it's just interesting, man.
So, yeah, exactly. I think it just sets up a bit of a storyline as the season goes along. They're going to see each other a few more times this season.
Yeah.
And it just makes, in one sense, it just makes for good basketball, exciting basketball. Like, people are going to tune in to see what might happen next.
Yeah, but I want to make one point about this. I watched. Did you guys watch the documentary that's showing with For the Love of the Game, where they're showing like 20 stories, and it's about different stories as far as basketball, the development of basketball, the NBA, that type of thing. And it's on the other channel. I don't even want to mention the channel. So I've heard other people mention the channel, but I give them props because, and I'm mad at them because they're trying to get their little. Their foothold on HBCU football and trying to block everybody else out.
What?
Yeah, they are. And I don't even like that. But anyway, coming back to basketball, they're showing a series where they're showing, I think it's 20 stories. And it's just like an onslaught of basketball, some of the history behind the game, and some stories, which is very interesting. I say that to say this. When you talk about the fisticuffs that took place in the Rockets-Lakers game, back in the day, that used to take place all the time. Right.
This
so
is true.
Fans started turning it off because they didn't want to turn on the NBA to see a fight. And then that's when they're saying that Magic Johnson and Larry Bird, that rivalry coming to the league, kind of saved the league at that time because it lost popularity. So I think that's an interesting point. My question to you is this. When you see these rivalries taking place, like tonight, you're going to have what the Lakers played the Spurs. That's going to be interesting.
Again.
You know, so that type of game, and that's going to be a night game, one of the late games tonight, which I think is interesting. And then also, you know, the Sixers and the Hornets, you might think that that's not a big thing, but, you know, back in the day, the Sixers and the Hornets went at it a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know, not like the Sixers and the Celtics, right. But, you know, the Sixers and the Hornets. And then, speaking of Celtics, they take on the Pistons. Didn't Blake Griffin just drop 50 points a week ago, last week?
Yeah.
You know, so the Pistons might be getting their little shine back. So, I mean, I think I'm excited about the NBA because I just see certain things happen. Like the Bulls and the Hawks.
Mm-hmm.
There's my man. They call him Ice Trey.
He is getting it done, isn't he? My goodness.
Are you kidding me? Yeah. He's a rookie. He already got a nickname. I don't even Ice think Trey. He gave it to himself. We're talking about Trey Young, the hotshot star out of Oklahoma who was just – who led the NCAA in scoring and assist, which made him a big-time player last year. So he's playing with the Hawks. But then you have Mr. LaVine playing with the Chicago Bulls, who's just jumping out the gym. Mm-hmm.
And Wendell Carter.
And Wendell Carter. And remember, we kept looking at the draft trying to figure out, well, nope. Remember, Vince, we were looking at mock drafts before the draft last year, and no matter how the draft changed, every time on that draft we saw – him going to the Chicago Bulls.
Yeah.
Remember, we looked at like five or six different drafts, you know, scenarios, and in every one he was going to the Chicago Bulls. That's incredible. Now he's with the Chicago Bulls, and he's
there. You go.
You know, so I mean, I say that to say that, and even this may have been a kind of interesting game in the past, but I don't know how interesting it is now. Like today, the Pacers play the Cavaliers, and it's like, well, who cares?
Right, for sure.
Right.
I mean, I'll just throw those games at you today, man, to see what your perspective is on them and what you're thinking about those teams and where's the excitement. One more thing. The Phoenix Suns play the Memphis Grizzlies today. Now, I'm interested in the Phoenix Suns because they're one of the youngest teams in the league, and they had a terrible record last year. Can Ayton pull them around? Can he make some things happen with Phoenix?
He's going to show flashes, but I peaked. I think last week at some of the stats, and I mean he's in the I think he's averaging about 11 points a game. He's going to be that. I think he's going to anchor that center position for them. It's going to take some time because they're so young, and the West is so stacked. So I don't think they want to put everything on his shoulders yet. I think they want to surround him, and that's a very young team. I think they have the kid from came out of Kansas 2 years ago. I can't think of his name that right now. But again, that's a very young team.
Josh Jackson. Yeah.
I think as some things change, you know, as like I don't see Golden State on every I say this every year, they have free agents and they still keep that team intact. So I mean, I guess it wouldn't surprise me if, you know, the next 3 to 5 years those guys are still playing there and playing at a high level. Mm-hmm. But I always look for you know, those young teams to get to that point where they've been playing together for 3-4 years. So I'm looking at 3-4 years from now, what does Phoenix look like? Mm-hmm. You know, are they challenging, you know, the top of the West, you know, for bragging rights, where, you know, where Golden State, you know, they, you know, their window has already closed. But I, like I say, it's this year is too early for them. Mm-hmm. There's certain things that you want to see. You want to see guys come out and compete. You want to see guys come out and it was so early in the season that, you know, I think you'll see players, you'll see that athleticism play out. You're going to see some splash plays. But as we get to the middle of the season, this is that point in the season where it's the longest that they've ever played.
Okay, got you.
So they start to hit the wall.
Right.
So, you know, like we're early on, so I think you're going to see some exciting basketball from a lot of these rookies. Mm-hmm. You mentioned Trae Young, Mo Bamba. Mm-hmm. I'm watching him
in Orlando.
He's showing some you know, it's a little bit of touch from mid range, mm-hmm. which I think bodes well for his career, because he didn't do that in Texas.
Right.
So players being able to come in and keep their strengths, you know, but then sort of expand on their game, and you see players like Mo Bamba step out a little bit from the paint and start knocking down shots. You know, the ceiling, you know, is going to be high for those guys.
Mm. Yeah. Man, look at the other side. I mean, just looking at some of the records, Oklahoma City 0-3 right now, and we know it's still early. Cleveland's 0-4. No surprise about the Knicks being 1-4. They just, you know, they invested in that spot in the bottom of the conference. You know, but then you have Detroit at 3-0. Mm-hmm. You have the paper champions Toronto at 5-0 with the best record. And you have Milwaukee at 4-0. So it's interesting. And then I'm missing one, the Denver Nuggets.
That's a surprise for me.
Yeah.
And again, I know we're early in the season, but you know, for them to get out to a strong start, is going to be, you know, key for them.
Mm-hmm. Brings back those memories of when Alex English did his thing.
Oh, man, yeah, way back.
Yes, I did. I went way back.
I remember the basketball card with Alex English on that.
And I remember they had that former Pitt star, Jerome Lane, who did his thing with the rebounds back then, too. Yeah.
I said A.C. Green.
I thought you was going back to, like,
why not?
Alan Iverson and Carmelo
Anthony.
I'm
talking about, please. That team couldn't hold no candle to Alex
English.
Can't
make a tumble.
Yeah, well, here, this one, no. And Doug Moe was the coach, okay, baby? So that's how we do it.
As we're running out of time in the game, it's the fourth quarter. We play a full game here. Real quick, I'm going to shift gears on you guys again. Los Angeles Dodgers and the Boston Red Sox.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I don't think any of us picked this series. No. Maybe the big guy did. He might have picked Boston. I'm not sure. Mm. We had to check with him to see if he had picked the Red Sox to win this series. But I think it's all about pitching. I think the Red Sox just have a pitching staff that's just, you know, I'm a David Price fan.
Yeah.
So when I look at the Red Sox pitching, I'm like, okay, you, I just see you winning. Any comments, Mr. Baseball?
It's just something how, and I was just looking over how he's bounced around, and we know why he's bounced around, because non-contending teams were sending him to contending teams. He went from Tampa Bay to Detroit. He went from Detroit to Boston, and they gave him the monies, and he's earned it. So, I mean, he's easily baseball's best pitcher, and he's also baseball's highest paid player at $35 million. And he's doing it, man. He very well could end up with the World Series MVP, because I believe it's Boston's year. Although I rooted for New York, but guess who they trail behind in the division? So
I rooted for him too. But then when you look at, you know, you got Chris Sale, you got David Price. When you look at the pitching, I mean, I just can't see, you know, even Rick Porcello,
right?
You know, those guys, they do their thing. And I just think that it's going to come down to the pitching to get to win the World Series.
Absolutely.
And I just think that regardless of what's happened up to now, it's going to be Boston's World Series.
I believe it, too. I really do. And good pitching makes the difference. Just like they say in football, defense wins championship. Pitching wins championships in baseball. You know, look, those Atlanta Braves teams in the 90s, I mean, just dominated. You know, three Hall of Famers. It speaks for itself.
All right, so we covered that real quick, the World Series. We all three of us seem like we're all on the same page, thinking that the Red Sox are going to win the series, no matter what the situation is at this point. All right, you know how we do, wrapping it up. Ray, what you got, sports world?
You know, we were talking about earlier the Cowboys grabbing Amari Cooper. But just look at Oakland now, though. Despite how they are, they got some first-round picks for the future. So despite how I feel about John Gruden, that yes, he still should have stayed in the broadcast booth, if he rolls his dice the way it's supposed to be, obviously it could benefit Oakland for the future.
Vince, what you got?
I think it's a travesty what's going on at Maryland football. After an investigation that they deemed not toxic, but there were some levels of abuse in the June 13th, 2018 death of 19-year-old Jordan McNair, I find it hurtful that DJ Durkin still has a job. I know the strength and conditioning coach, Rick Court, was the one who they thought was responsible for all the abuse, and he resigned. But Durkin hired him and was quoted as saying he was his most important hire that he made, and he said that back in 2016. When there's all this dysfunction and this abuse, you know, when you're in charge of young men, you know, where these guys don't feel safe to even go to the coach and say these things are happening to us, I think this sends a bad message when you don't hold the head coach accountable in this situation.
And that's where we're going to end this show. You heard it. It's Urban Media Today Talk Sports. Trevin A. Jones, Vince Butts, Ray Porter Jr. Have a good weekend.
Urban Media Today talks sports every week on Urban Media Today Radio, where you can listen in on free music and podcasts on our SoundCloud station at Urban Media Today. And for more information, log on to urbanmediatoday.com, your lifestyle, entertainment, and sports blog website.
What type of game is being played? How's it doing there? I get up, all right?